Hi, welcome back to That's What She Said with your favorite hosts, Peyton
and Tiber. Grab a yummy snack, a warm cup of tea, and tune in for our weekly chats about our favorite eats, current recipe inspiration, and discussions of food science, nutrition, and sustainable eating.
We hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to
That's What She Said.
Tips.
And Pay.
Yay.
Okay, so last week we weren't here, as you may have noticed. Super sorry, we had to take a little bit of a
vacation,
a little bit of a holiday. We deserved a holiday. No, we just got one anyway. But we both happened to be not in St. Andrews.
Oh, wait, no. Stop.
Yeah, we both had a little bit of a break, which means that we had some exciting food
experiences.
Yes. Experiences. Which we have to report back to each other, mostly. Pardon?
I had so many food experiences. Oh, actually, I got complimented on how well I know food when I was in Paris. So we'll get to that.
No, tell. Well, okay. So Tibbs went to Paris.
Oh, yeah.
So you can imagine she had some really great food.
Yes, I had some amazing food. I got a bit of a compliment. So basically, I was with my friends, and then my friend had this random friend who like is Parisian but also Lebanese, and I love Lebanese food. So we went to this Lebanese restaurant, and I was talking about.
Have you ever wanted to have your own star show? Applications open at the beginning of each semester.
Sorry. I don't know why I was doing that.
Okay, apologies for that. Anyway, let me just recap. I went to a Lebanese restaurant in Paris. I think it was called Eats Time. I want to say it was just like random little, like side street restaurant. Mm-hmm. It definitely wasn't a tourist restaurant because everybody was pretty surprised that we were there speaking English, like amongst each other. My friend's friend came and we were just kind of talking about food, and my friend had said that Lebanese food is my favorite cuisine, and I said, actually, my own food.
My own cooking.
and Lebanese.
That's a flex.
I was just kind of discussing, like, what I like eating. I like making fattoush on all of that. And I started, like, going on a rant about pomegranate molasses because I love putting that in my fattoush. But I was talking about how my pomegranate molasses are too watery, so they don't work with the salad. And then I randomly started talking about cheese sambus. Like, I don't know. I was just really into it, right? And then my friend was like, wow, you really know your Lebanese food? And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I just like eating. And then my friend's friend was like, no, I'm Lebanese and you know more than me. They were like, you really know. The moment you said your pomegranate molasses were too watery, that's when I knew. And I think I just died and went to heaven. Like, imagine somebody of a certain cuisine, like, culture telling you that you know your stuff.
That's such a compliment.
Wow. I was over the moon. Also,
I'm impressed.
I was freaking out about the entire menu. I ordered the entire menu.
What did you get? Because I want to make more Lebanese food. All I've been making is that salad that you told me about that
We've been making a lot. We got tabbouleh, we got labneh, we got, like, three different kinds of hummus, we got baba ganoush, we got za'atar bread, like, falafel bread. I think, like, also, like, just, like, a platter of chicken shawarma. We got literally everything on the menu. There were even things that I can't remember the name of. And we had asked the waiter, do you think that's enough? And he was like, do I... he looked at us and was like, do I think that's enough? I think that's more than enough. It was just, like, a table full of food that we were just kind of, like, dipping into. And it was really good. I'm trying to think. Was it the best Lebanese food I've had? No, because I know my Lebanese food. but it was really good. It was really good.
Positive experience.
It was a great
overall
experience. I just wish we had stuff like that in St. Andrews.
I know.
Just drop it.
Yeah, that's
really
a bit too much to ask.
Like, that was the biggest thing. Like, none of it was...
Yeah. No, Lebanese food, because it's so fresh. It's like all the fresh herbs and vegetables and stuff. Yum.
It was truly amazing. I had so many good food experiences in Paris. But I won't go too long. Look, we can go to you.
We can trade back and forth.
And then it can come back to me. All my food experiences.
Okay, well, I have a bad food experience.
Oh, wow. Okay.
First bad food experience ever. So I was in Iceland, which is, you know, they have good food, but they're not necessarily known for their cuisine like other countries. But we were staying at my friend's house, so actually we didn't even go out to eat. Her mum, who's from Beijing, was cooking us food every night, which was just heavenly. She made so many. I was like, okay, I need you to send me the recipe. And she's like, there is no recipe. Like, it's just from my head. I just put everything together. And I was like, no. Girl, I need you to write down. She was showing us how she does her stir fries. Like, you have to, in a wok, you have to do, like, the night that we were leaving for the airport, literally 20 minutes before we were meant to leave, she's like, no, I can't send you off without dinner. It was like 5. And she's like, I can't send you off without dinner. And she made Kung Pao chicken. And she was telling us, like, how she does it. First of all, she has a really nice wok. It's very round and deep, which I was like, okay, this is good information. Because we have one, the cheap one from Tesco, and it's fine. But I realized that, like, there are definitely levels.
The wok matters.
Yes, the wok matters. By the way, this is not my bad food experience, I would just like to say. I got sidetracked talking about this. All of her food was incredible. She was showing us when she was making the chicken. Like, first you have to stir. You have to, like, burn the sauce, basically. Like, she made a sauce and put it on super high heat with, like, the oil, hoisin sauce, like, everything before she put in. Like, she'd already cooked the chicken and, like, roasted the nuts and everything. But she, like, fully boiled the sauce and then added everything at the end. Oh, it just, like, it was so fun to watch. We were all just stood around the kitchen watching her cook everything she made because it was so, oh, it was just so good. And I was like, I must replicate exactly what you're doing. And then she was so clever about using the leftovers, which, you know, I love that. Like, just repurposing. Like, she made super yummy, like, minced beef thing. And then the next day she put it, like, inside a roasted aubergine, like, added a sauce to it. It was just all so delicious. Obviously, everything doused in spices and herbs, which, you know, is a given. You know we're fans of that. Anyway, but the bad food experience, I didn't actually eat it, I will say. But I was going to, and then I smelled it, and I literally dry heaved, and I was like, I can't do this. But so apparently fermented shock is like a national food of Iceland.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
Never in my life.
Okay, everybody right now needs to look up. I'm going to show you a picture. You need to look up a photo of, it's called Harkal. That's what it's called. If you want to look it up. It's a certain kind of, yeah, it's a national dish. It's a certain kind, a sleeper shock. Or a Greenland shark. So they ferment them and hang them. And look at that. So anyway, it's like, it's very tough. It's like a jerky, like you can see there. They cut it into little cubes after like fermenting it and hanging it. The smell, I cannot even explain. What's the thing that's in cat pee that makes it smell like cat? So just an A, I'm blanking on the word.
Ammonia?
Yes, yes. So apparently sharks are like full of ammonia. So before we got a little tub of it just to try because it's like an experience. You and you're meant to chase it with this like special super strong alcohol and it's just like they're very hardy people, you know? It's like Viking stuff. And her dad was like, oh, we have to do it. So we got a little plastic container, which was sealed before we even opened it. And across the room you can smell it. And it smells like dead animal and cat litter. And I was like, it smells like cat pee. And then I realized because it's full of ammonia. And so we had to do it outside. He said, this is like a thing. You don't eat it inside because the smell is so strong. So he went outside. He put a paper bag outside for all of us to like eat it and then throw up into it. There's a famous video of Gordon Ramsay eating it and just like absolutely spewing everywhere. But they took the lid off of this shark, and I was like, there is no way. I couldn't even stand outside. This smell is so overpowering, I cannot even express. I've never experienced anything like it. Like, it was so repulsive. And the even thought of putting it in my mouth, I just can't. Plus, the texture is, like, very, very, like, you don't chew it. You just have to swallow it down in one gulp. And then you, like, immediately chase it with the alcohol. Anyway, so I smelled it and I was like, I can't do it. And, but the boys were like, no, we have to do it. So they tried it and literally like puked back into the bag and then had to like, oh, we're just washing it down with vodka. It was an intense experience. And I didn't actually know that. Last time I was in Iceland, I ate puffin, which is also a local delicacy, and whale, which is as well. More because I was like a wed in Rome, have to try it. I don't really remember specifically. It kind of just tasted like chicken. But they're very like normal, like especially puffin. It's like having chicken. Like it's everywhere. Like in any restaurant you can, like a pub, like you can get on the menu. But yeah, I don't remember that. That was more just like, tastes like what it's cooked in. It's like, you know, kind of a similar texture to chicken or some other meat. This shawarma was like next level. And it's fermented. Like, and you eat it on its own. Anyway, I was just so a little bit scarred by this experience. Like, honestly, look at the shark.
Yeah, I think
I'm pulling out pictures. It looks like Jaws. It looks like the trailer of Jaws. Hot call. Anyway.
That sounds.
Yes, this is exactly what it was like. It was a little bin like that. It looks like almost little cubes of cheese, but it don't smell like that, and it don't taste like that. They were absolutely. Her dad was like, "Oh, I don't actually mind it." And yeah, she was like, Junior said they used to make her eat it in school. They'd like pass it around at school. But saying that, I do love how obviously like in Nordic countries they eat so much fish because that's like pretty much the only thing they don't have to import. And food is so, everything's so expensive because it's imported, which is also why we didn't eat out. But as fish is very available, widely available. But I do love how, like she was saying, in school they have this paste. It's like in a toothpaste tube, basically. It's called caviar, but it's actually just like fish roe paste. And she said like that was like their school snack at school. Every day they'd give them like little rye crackers with cod roe paste. Like, I just love that how the Nordic countries are like, that would never go down in America, because you'd be like, no, I want a juice box. And like, I just love it because I'm so passionate about fish.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. I mean, in school we just got given fruit.
Yeah,
like a tree of fruit.
No, same.
But, I mean, to be honest,
this is next level, the shark.
I'll ever try.
I don't recommend. Now I can think of a food that I don't like. Not that I even tried it. But I'm telling you, I was like, no, I have to try it. It will smell a bit gross, but I have to try it. But I, like, felt faint just by the smell of it across the thing. Like, I can't imagine.
I mean, if there was a
putting it in my mouth.
Laid out ready for you to vomit in it, then I don't think that's
exactly. No, everybody look up the video of Gordon Ramsay eating fermented shark, because yeah, I'll show you. It's so intense,
scary, but I mean,
I just thought it was funny. I don't know if that counts as even a food experience. It's more of like
a
bodily experience. I smelled it honestly.
Other people eat it.
It just smelled like cat pee.
Yeah,
but like,
you listen to
plus fish
stories, but I mean, I think that's
Yeah, it was an experience. I still love experiences, even if I didn't eat it.
Experience things if you want to experience things.
I was, and you know, I'm very keen to try different things, but I'm telling you, this was next level.
It was not the vibe.
Yeah.
It was too far fetched.
It was pretty extreme. Okay, back to you. Back to good food.
I didn't try anything scary because I just would not order something scary. I mean, I wasn't really. I was going to
Yeah, you weren't in that situation.
Hanging about.
But did you have other, like, did you have mostly French bistro food? Or you had Lebanese food, but.
So I had, like, to be honest, I can't remember everything I ate.
Yeah, fair.
I had good Moroccan food because France is quite good for.
Yeah.
Like, they have a big African community.
That was
really good. First of all, the actual restaurant looked stunning. I thought I was in Morocco.
That's
you couldn't
so cool.
tell because it was so quiet and it felt like somebody's home. It was amazing. And the waitress, like, I think it was really funny because everybody in Paris who served us was so confused about where we were from. Because, like, my friend would be speaking in Italian and then she'd just, like, switch back to English and then we'd be. But people don't really recognize Scottish accents abroad. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really funny. I remember the waitress was just having a laugh. I was like, where on earth are you guys from? I did not understand. And I was like, on Écosse.
Not you, whipping the French back out.
But anyway, so they had a lot of pigeon on the menu, but I was too scared to go for the pigeon, so I just went for a tagine. Like kofte, like meatballs, an egg, tagine. And when I say it was amazing, it was so good. I'm actually so sad that it finished like faster than I wanted it to. So we had like tagine, and then this Moroccan salad, which, okay, I love fattoush.
Yeah.
And I love the salad that I make at home, like with the hummus and stuff. Like, that's like my go-to salad. When I say this salad was better than all salads.
Oh, good.
I still cannot tell what they did to the salad. It just looked like a normal. It was literally labeled like Moroccan salad.
Yeah.
And so we just got it like as a side. And I took one bite of it and I was literally, like, shocked. And so I kept trying to get my friend to eat the salad, and she didn't want it. And so I pushed her so many times. I was like, please, just have one bite of the salad. And the moment she took a bite of it, like, after 10 minutes, she literally just kept going back and ate the whole thing. Oh. I still can't tell what they
What kind of thing? Like, was it chickpea, like, tabbouleh kind of
it
thing?
Was, like... It was literally just kind of, like, it was mainly tomato. Mm. I have a picture of it. And I will get that out because I couldn't even tell what I was eating. It was so good that I didn't even know what I was eating. I think there's a lot of olive oil on it. And so it kind of dampened it. Let me see. Okay. I'll show you. This is what the salad looked like. It just looked like a...
Oh, yum.
Just looked like a, you know, one of those side salads you get at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what they did to the salad.
But they also go ham with their spices.
Yeah. They put something in that salad that was so good. And there was couscous, there was... Okay, this is my machine. And then my friend got, like, seasonal veg and, like, couscous and bread and stuff. Oh, my God. I had a
full... I'm so jealous. I want to make a tagine.
Yeah, I had a full-blown argument with my friend about translating French. Because, there was, like... I could translate the entire menu just, like, looking at it. It wasn't that hard. It was food. And I obviously know food in French. And so it said raisin on it, right? And my friend put this into Google Translate, and she said, it's grape. It's chicken and grapes. And I was like, please, I promise you, we're not serving you chicken and grape, Tashane. It's a raisin.
Yeah.
And we went back and forth for ages. I was like, please, like, I know Google Translate says it's a grape, but that's because raisin is, like, a dried grape.
Yeah.
And so we eventually had to call the waitress, literally just to ask her. I was like, please tell her this is raisin. I was right at the end of the day, so I was really proud of my French. Being able to read a menu, it was really good.
Good for you.
It was a really, really good food experience. It was just, like, so, like, the food was so clean, but just so, like, rich in flavor.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even pinpoint, like, the flavors were so foreign to me, but it was so good.
That's unusual.
I couldn't tell, and usually I know what's in my food.
Exactly.
And I was just sitting there, like, what am I eating? It's so good.
Oh, I'm so amazing. Jealous.
I tried so many good foods. I tried really good burrata at some random food place. That's actually a whole story. So we were coming back from Alca Museum, and then my friend Lucia was like, well, you know, we should ask the locals, like, what food we want. So we walked up to this random guy in the metro, and we're like, so where should we go to eat for dinner? And he was so scared, but thankfully he knew a little bit of English. And so he was like, okay, so, like, go to this place, this is where, like, all the students hang out. It's, like, a really lively center, a really great place. So we're like, okay, so we just went there. Don't know where we were going. Like, literally had no idea where this was. So we went there. It was, like, the dodgiest area in all of time. It was so scary, but it was so lively. We were walking around, like, for ages watching people eat, because it was just, like, jam-packed. And then my friend says, no, actually, this is a really good place that area I went to, like, 3 years ago, let's go here. So we got a taxi, because it was really late. We got a taxi to this place, and it was just, like, dead. Like, there was nothing there. And I'm standing there, like, I am so hungry, and there were so many food places. And so we ended up having to walk back to this random place. We literally did not know where we were. We went back to this random area. It took us, like, 40 minutes to walk back there. It was so late, and I was so hungry. So, like, the first place we saw with the table, I was like, we're sitting there. Like, we're going, I don't care. But that place, it was Italian, and I have heard that Italian food is not as good in Paris, but it was so good. It was so amazing. I couldn't go for the starters. Like, I couldn't stop eating the starters. I was full on the damn starters. Like, it was just, like sun-dried tomato pesto, and then olive pesto, and then, like, the bread they served was so good. And, I don't know why I've never had bread like that. And the burrata. The burrata was literally to die for. And it's so weird that I'm saying that I went to France that had really good Italian food, but
Well, there are a lot of Italians in Paris.
Yeah, it was so good. I've never had that in
my yum. I'm so jealous. Had
such creamy, good food. Oh my god. There was, like, truffle pizza. Like, what even. Sorry, I'm really just reminiscing. And also, I have really good pastries. I have really good pastries.
Yeah, I bet.
I went around and tried to, like, I basically got pan au chocolat from everywhere I could and, like, just rated them.
Like,
I had a ranking on my computer somewhere, like, of, like, the best and worst pan au chocolat. But it was definitely there's this random side street somewhere, and there's, like, literally just a random boulangerie or whatever.
Yum.
And there's got a pan au chocolat there. And when I say I felt like Emily in Paris.
Yeah, I can imagine. I always
made fun of Emily in Paris that day. She, like, in that one episode where she bites into pan au chocolat, and she's like, wow, I have to share this with the world. And I'm like, okay, just because you're from America and you haven't had like, good fresh pastry, calm down. When I bit into that pastry, I thought it was Emily in Paris. Oh. And I've been to France before many times. I've had pastry. Mm-hmm. But this was next level. It was so soft. It was the softest pastry I've ever had. And it was just like, just perfect. It was so amazing. I want to fly back there just to eat that one. And I don't even know where it was. Like, I don't know where it was.
Yeah, just that's the best, though, when you just stumble upon something.
It was just some really good
some little hole in the wall.
Oh, that I could never return to because I don't know where it was. Oh. Unless my phone has geolocation.
You have to check that back.
Yeah.
Oh, yum.
I just ate so much, and I had such a good time eating. Oh, and then also, sorry, like, this is my last part. My favorite thing to do in other countries is go to the supermarket.
Yeah, wait,
see
oh.
What other people eat, right?
Me too.
I want to know what they buy, so, like, I would just go to the supermarket.
I just show you a picture.
Like, randomly, I bought the last one, and it'd be, like, Intermarché. It wouldn't be one of, like, the big Carrefour ones. It'd be, like, some random one. And I just walk in and stare at everything. And so before I came back, I literally went on, like, a grocery haul and just bought, like, a ton of snacks that were, like, in French, took them in my suitcase, and, like, went to the airport. So I still have them.
Like what?
I don't even know.
I love... I love little, like
random
you go to, like, a spa in some Euro city and just get
little
crunchy snacks and, like...
Like, I even got, like, different types of lint. It was, like, pistachio and almond lint. I've never heard of that before.
No, neither.
And these random biscuits, and it was really cool. And then, so basically, my friend Lucia also told me that she loves doing that, so, like, it was the best time going with someone else who's obsessed with grocery stores.
That's so fun.
And literally, like, staring everything in every aisle, like, what is this?
I love that you said that, because I also was most excited to go to Iceland to go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
Because, oh, look. Look how organized. This is all of the skier, like the super thick yogurt. It's so, look at all the cheese.
Oh my God.
It's so organized. Like all the spices. Look at the spices. All of the supermarkets are so organized. They have everything. They have every type of cheese, every type of like nut milk and things. Like so many good little like muesli's, like little rabbit food stuff, which you know I love that. Plus also like the spice, like even in the corner supermarket, like everything is so well stocked. They have so much food from, I mean, because I guess they're importing everything, so everything is like from, you know, a different type of cuisine. But they had such good, like every supermarket had like a massive section of like Asian sauces and stuff like that. Like, oh, it was just so, I was buzzing every day. I was like, can we just go to supermarket to walk around? Like, I don't even need to buy anything. I just want to walk around and like, and see what other people are buying. Oh, it's so fun. And plus I just love to, like, there are so many just supermarket staples that are just kind of like unique to certain places that aren't even like something special, but just little like bread things. I don't know, like I love to see, I'm like, oh, everyone's buying that, like that must be a local thing. That must be like buying a loaf of bread, you know.
Yeah,
I love it.
I would do that. I would like observe what other people were ordering, and then I would be like, I want that too.
Yeah,
or like in the supermarket I'd watch what people were buying on the till and then like look for it.
Yeah.
And then the most fun thing was using like the self-checkout in the supermarket, because it was all in French. I did not know what I was doing, and there was
you did
different to the ones at home. Like, it's just everything, it just works differently. So I was just standing there like trying to figure out how I'm supposed to buy things, and it was just a fun experience. Like I remember it was really funny because I was in Sephora and I was just buying myself a little face mask, and so I went to the self-checkout, and the guy who was working just like came up to me and like he was like, oh, do you need me to teach you how to do it? And I was like, no, I'm fine, like, okay. It was all in French, and like when I say didn't know what these words even meant, but I was like, no, this guy's watching me now, I've got to do it, because he was waiting for me to need help. But I obviously didn't know where I was going in the actual Sephora, and I was standing there, like, pressing buttons, and, like, all this stuff in French. Somehow, magically, it worked. I, like, got through all these random stages of self-checkout, makeup, whatever, and then, like, ended up buying it, and he was about to ask me, do you need it back? And I was like, oh, I've got it. And I just wanted to feel like I knew what I was doing. That was, like, the most important thing. Oh, apologies for literally ranting about Paris. I have one really big observation.
No, tell.
Which is McDonald's Paris.
This is, like, a well-known thing, is it not?
I had to go in.
Yeah.
And the way they had literally, like, a bar of, like, macarons.
Yeah.
And, like, fresh, cute cakes, and it was McCafe, and I was like, excuse me, we have Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
So it was very surprising, but like the most surprising thing I saw in that McDonald's is I literally looked at every table and went around everyone, because I'm weird. Every single person in McDonald's was drinking water. Like, every single
person.
That's
such a good observation.
I literally was like, no, this is it. I've got to find that one person not drinking water. Like, I have to do it because mm-hmm. I can't see anyone. And I'm not joking. I went around the entire two-floor McDonald's.
And everyone was drinking water. That's actually so interesting.
So I googled it. Apparently, like, it's French culture. Like, you have to drink water with your food. Like, they don't really drink fizzy juice or mm-hmm. whatever. But I've never, like, if you go to McDonald's in Glasgow, yeah, had a big, but, like, you know.
Iron brew.
Yeah, everybody was just drinking water. And I was shocked. That was, like, the biggest takeaway from...
That's a really good observation. Well, you know how everybody always talks about, like, oh, how are the French, you know, so well-dressed and so fit, and, like, the women are so, you know, in such good shape when they literally smoke, drink coffee, and eat bread. Maybe it's because they drink a lot of water to detox.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess they walk a lot as well.
True.
French people are really cool. I liked observing people. Just doing
that's so fun. I know, but the supermarket is just the best place to observe. I love that. Like, even not to buy something, just to go in and to see what they have and just to see what people are buying.
I wanted to buy spices from the supermarket in France, but I genuinely couldn't comprehend the spices. I didn't understand what they said, so I was like, maybe I should just, you know, take a pass and I'll just deal with it. You know, I've got plenty at home. We have food at home, like.
I know.
But yeah.
It's so tempting, though. It's just because we don't, I mean, not to sound spoiled, but it is true, we don't have access to much variety of food here.
Yeah, it's so nice to be able to.
So it's that's what makes it extra exciting to travel and go to the supermarket and be like, wow, look at everything they have access to.
They have all this food.
All these spices. I know.
Well, even going home to Glasgow is so much fun.
Yeah.
And seeing all the food. Like, when I went home after Paris, I went to this place that's like the staple place to get samosas. Like, it's like the traditional, like, it's the place. Mm-hmm. You don't go anywhere else to buy samosas. And fun fact, I didn't know this when I was younger, but my mum had recently told me. So I know that my mum's mum, like, was a cook, or, like, she was, like, a chef or whatever. But she gave the recipe to, like, her samosa and, like, pastry recipes to this place in Glasgow, like, back in the day.
No way.
And I was like, wow, so I've been eating my grandma's food. Like,
that's so cool.
I didn't know this. And so that was just a fun fact. That was like, that's like my flex in life, is that.
That is a flex.
All those good samosas you're eating
literally come from your family.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But it was so good. And I went there and I got a samosa salad, which is like the most fun thing.
Yeah.
It's like just like yogurt. Like thin yolk, like, you mm-hmm. know, like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
With like samosa and like salad, and like you mix it and you eat it like in the salad.
Oh, you dip it? Or you, like, no, mash it in it?
It's, like, if you're taking it to go, let me say, like, so you've got a tuck container.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, your yogurt with, like, your little, uh-huh. like, cucumber and, mm-hmm. like, spices mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have samosa in, like, you put the samosa in the yogurt.
Yum.
And, like, some salad and, like, radishes or whatever, or onion on top.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just, like, eat it together. And it's so good because, like, the yogurt just soaks into the
samosa.
And it's not mushy, like, you would think that was.
Yeah.
It's not. It's, like, samosa 2.0. Like,
you know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say.
Okay,
We must make samosas.
I just need to get the right pastry that my mom uses. So that's
I'll allow
that
it.
I need to like make a mental note of it.
Please, don't worry. It's
next
to the front of my brain. Tim's made samosas for my birthday in November. And since then, I've literally not stopped thinking about it. And they were so good. And she was like, oh, what? I just put them together. And everyone's like, they're so good. Make more.
They were just samosas.
No, because you just, like we were talking about last week or whatever, a few weeks ago, it's something about having the natural, like, once you kind of practice enough, you just kind of know what will taste good, how much spice to add. And it was just the perfect ratio of everything. It was so fresh, like just the right amount of spice. It was just so good. And I haven't stopped thinking about them. So
observing. Your family.
Yeah, well, true.
Well, like,
when you have a famous recipe in the family.
Oh my god, no, every time you'd go to set like an older aunt's house or something, like, there's always just somebody sitting with, like,
yeah,
there's always like a samosa station.
I love that.
Station,
I love it.
And like, you would just go to visit and just say hi, and like someone's like sitting there like making samosas. So like I watched it a lot when I was younger. It was the most fun thing. I love like the pastry part of like putting your like filling in and then like rolling
and
the pastry
roll
with like the egg, like to stick it. It just looked so much fun when I was a kid. Like all I wanted to do was like eat the samosas or like the spring rolls, but like uncooked because the pastry looks so good. But you should not eat that uncooked because you'd probably get food poisoning from like flour. But
okay, well, yeah, you have to teach me.
We will do that, and you have to teach me to make bagels.
Oh, yes. I know. I forgot about that. It's bagels are so easy to make, and there's, like, three ingredients. It's more just the time you have to leave it overnight in the fridge, which, you know, I'm a little bit impatient.
I'd say samosas are really easy, too. Like, as long as you get the filling right, the filling's the most important thing. The pastry is, like, you know, you roll out some thin pastry, you put some egg, you know.
And you fry them.
Yeah. Or you can bake them. My mom started baking them nowadays because she said it's, like, a lot better for you to bake. I haven't tried it yet, so, like, I just stick to fried samosas. But I always will take them out and then, like, just lay them in paper towel for a while so, like, it will soak up the oil because I don't want to eat.
And also, then they're not so soggy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dry them up. So, yeah. Anyway.
That's happening soon. Well, stay tuned. Yeah. We will talk about when we make samosas because you know I ain't forgetting about it.
I mean, even if you come visit me in Glasgow, I feel like that might be easier.
That's true. Wait, then your mom can properly show. Yeah. I would love that so much. Yeah. I would love that. Okay, anyway, segue onto me. This is like my actually favorite. Well, I geek out about a lot of random food and like nutrition related things. I don't know what made me think about this. I think because I was eating kimchi from the drawer, as you do. And I was thinking about, I mean, I feel like it's pretty well known now that like fermented foods are just quote unquote like good for you, like good for your gut. But as a psychologist, I was thinking about the connection, because we've actually learned about this like very briefly, the connection between your brain and your gut. And it is very much an established, like there is an entire nervous system. It's called the enteric nervous system, which connects your gut to your brain. So, you know, issues or like disorders in the brain are directly related to the stomach and vice versa. There are all these studies about like, I mean, there's debate about which way round it goes or if it's both, but like people who are more prone to depression, anxiety are also more prone to like IBS and digestion issues and the other way around. And those are obviously very common, you know, like digestion issues are very common, especially in the US. Literally all of my American friends have some problem with digestion, things they're allergic to, things they can't digest, which I could get in my soapbox another time about like GMO food and like processed food, and especially in the US. But anyway, and then I was thinking about like, there are, you actually have so much control over your gut health based on the foods that you eat. And I feel like fermented foods, that's kind of maybe a bit more of an obvious one, like kimchi, yogurt, like probiotics, things with probiotics, like fermented. But also, I was doing a little bit of research. Some other foods that I didn't even know about are really good for your gut. So your microbiome is like the healthy bacteria in your gut, basically. And it's like really important to keep it thriving, you know, keep her happy by feeding her good foods, literally. And so like when you take antibiotics, it's, you know, it's really good. I mean, literally antibiotics, like you need like probiotics to balance it out, like the good bacteria to kind of like replenish. Otherwise then you have like serious digestion issues, because if you think about it, like the protective wall in your intestines is just gone. And so it gets a lot more like, you know, she gets more fussy about digestion and stuff. But okay, did you know that? So some food, so like miso, for example, is a good one. And like, no surprise that cultures and cuisines where miso and kimchi and those kind of foods are like a staple of a normal diet, you know, the general population does not have the same digestive issues as they do in other places, which makes sense.
I have watched so many. Why do people in Japan live longer? Why do people in Korea live longer?
And they don't have dairy, which is...
It's all about, like, the food they eat. And also the supermarket. Like, when you go and buy, like, snack foods, it's always, like, fermented foods and things like that. And it's never, like, Dairy Milk chocolate.
Yeah. It's so true. I just find it so fascinating. Like, to me, it's like so obvious. It's not something that you have to convince people that, like, the food that you eat has a direct effect on your health, especially, like, as talking specifically about gut health. Like, it's so obvious in populations like that where those are their food staples compared to other places where that's much harder to access. And the basic, you know, the most accessible and cheap food is processed or, and, you know, not exactly things that are good for your gut. But anyway, some other things. Almonds are very full of probiotics. Didn't know that. Also, like, fatty acids, like olive oil, avocados and things are, like, they help reduce inflammation.
I was going to say something, but it's really silly.
What? Say.
I was going to say when I was younger, I had this radar where I was able to tell who consumed, like, olive oil, like, a lot of olive oil and avocados. And it was always because, like, I'd see people with just, like, glowing
yes.
skin. But it would look, they would just look so
yeah.
much. Like, they have yes. olive oil, like, Mediterranean diet. Like, I could yeah. tell. Like, I could see it straight.
100%. It's like, just health from the inside out.
Like, if you're glowing, like, your yeah. skin is glowing.
It shows. Same with people's eyes. I always notice that.
Yes. My mother
like,
used to
the whites of your eyes
tell how, like,
healthy your gut is. Yeah. Did you know? Because I know my mom, or no, one of her friends, like, they were traveling. They were, like, living, doing a homestay in Guatemala or something, like, when they were younger. And her friend got hepatitis, maybe B, C, I don't know. But, and one of the symptoms of that is, like, the white, what's it called? The white
jaundice.
Of your eye. No, no, what's the white part of your eye called?
I don't know.
I forget.
People, you have your
iris. I forget. Anyway, the white part was, like, yellow, like, brown.
Right.
Yellow, because it's, like, such gut.
Yeah, jaundice.
Close enough. Anyway, I just think it's interesting when it, like, shows up physically, like,
yeah.
You know, like, your gut health, it's very much displayed from the inside out. But anyway, obviously fiber is good for just general digestion. Peas.
Oh.
Peas are full of, like, different kinds of fiber that are really good. I know, I didn't know that. Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
So because they have high in also fiber, but also sulfur compounds to help combat unhealthy bacteria. Didn't know that. Bananas. Because fiber, I guess, but because I feel like you more think of, I mean, maybe these are in a different category of fermented foods, which are, like, very rich in probiotics. These are more, like, rich in healthy fibers. Also, fresh ginger. Oh, I love fresh ginger. I put an entire stem of ginger in my soup last night, blended up. You can't have too much.
Ginger is so, I mean, even grating ginger and just, like, smelling the aroma of ginger.
Oh, it's so good.
I love when I just fry garlic and ginger and, like, chili, and I just, like...
It's the best smell.
Just sit there and just...
Love it. Oh, I love it. Yeah, that helps with production of stomach acid, which...
That's, like, I think it's, like, really popular in America where people have these, like, health shots or something.
Like ginger shots.
Yeah.
Stuff like... They have them in Pret, even.
Oh.
I've seen.
I feel like,
but in America, it's much more. It's part of the, like, green juice
yeah.
cleanse,
I mean,
detox
I
cleanse.
I think they have them here, but it's people don't really go.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to take a juice shot.
Yeah,
that's
no.
What called, a juice shot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I remember I'd always see people on YouTube.
And, like, LA, juice. That's. Yeah.
Yeah, LA. That place.
It's funny how these things have kind of sort of become a trend, which I guess is mm-hmm. good to, like, you know, bring more awareness to it.
Yeah.
But people will also just do anything because someone else did it and said that it's good for you.
I mean, I think LA definitely does have a lot of clean food.
Oh, yeah. Just oh, California in general. Also because there's access to it.
Yeah.
And a lot of this food grows there.
Yeah. So I, basically, when I was younger, like, the first YouTuber I ever watched was this random girl living in Turkey. Like, she was just like, hey, guys. Like,
yeah.
This is my skill routine, whatever. Then she moved to LA, and I still watch her to this day just because, like, it's like a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
And so she has lived in LA for a while, and then she goes to, like, UCSB, so she did their year abroad, and she moved to London for, like, the last semester just there, and then went up to Edinburgh and stuff, and now she's in Paris, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her saying, like, the biggest culture shock was mm-hmm. the food,
mm-hmm.
and the like, the way that there was just, it was so hard to access just clean food if you were eating out. Like, you, yeah. She was like, I can't find anything here. Like, everything here, she's like, it's good. Like, I'm enjoying it, but there's just no clean food. Like, everything's mm-hmm. super oily and stuff. And I get that she lives in, you know, like, LA, where, like, there's access to everything. But I think before she lived in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. So she was just so used to clean food.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought about it that way, because I would think that I eat mm-hmm. like well, and so I wouldn't, I mean, I know that like Scotland is like the second most obese country in the world or whatever,
but it's the second most what?
Second most obese country in the world after America.
Is it?
Yeah, it's America and Scotland.
Like, I didn't know that.
So all of these little anecdotes you're giving, I have the same one.
Yeah, true, fair.
Yeah, I've seen it too. But yeah, I just thought
it's not that surprising considering accessibility.
Yeah. But I just had imagined that, like, we were fine, we were chilling. Mm. I knew it wasn't amazing, but I didn't think there was that big of a difference.
No, that's, that's interesting.
The food that we get here. Or that someone would notice that big of a difference in, like, how clean the food is. I mean, maybe she was just eating fish and chips. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, I think also we're speaking as people who are very aware of the food we have access to, because we care about what we eat and we enjoy cooking. You know, like, I think... Yeah. That is a big part of it.
I hadn't expected mm-hmm. that she would have such a big culture shock, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You mean coming from America to Scotland? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, wait, really? We don't have that? Like,
yeah.
I would have thought it was the other way around, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did live in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I was going to say, LA is a little bit of its own bubble of trends, where it's like every restaurant is an acai bar or like a power smoothie for $20.
And it's called, like, Earth or something.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone else, like, I'm just going to get my salad from Earth.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, looks cool. You guys enjoy.
I know.
Salads. I'll make my own at home.
I know. I was going to say, like, it is, like I said, like, just now this movement of, like, quote-unquote healthy eating, like, obviously that is a step in the right direction in terms of like spreading awareness, but at the same time now it's become so much of a reputation of places like that, or of, you know, skinny girls going to get their salad for lunch, and you know, like, it's kind of even become the stereotype around it. It's not necessarily it's kind of its own subculture, but that is interesting. I didn't know Scotland was the second most
obese country. I think a lot of the a lot of the comparisons you make of, like, between America and, like, coming to St. Andrews, the general, like, generally in Scotland, like, I mean, we have deep-fried Mars bars. I don't know if people actually eat them, but...
Also, I'm not, like, I'm coming from California. That's, like, a separate...
Yeah.
That's very much its own place in terms of food compared to the rest of America.
I mean, I guess where I grew up, I didn't, like, have that same... But I know, because you learn in school, like, half of our lessons at school was, like, anti-obesity lessons or whatever. But, like, no... Like, we were all fine, like... Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, no, we definitely have the same thing in Scotland, where I think they just, like, the food is so, like, greasy. Like, there's just so much oil in all the food. And, like, salt is the biggest thing. There's just, like... And, like, you know, everybody orders Coke from McDonald's.
They're not drinking water.
Sizes aren't the same as America, but they're definitely still quite big.
Pretty significant.
That's what I noticed when I went to France, or when I go anywhere, really, the portion sizes are always smaller. I mean, I always find it, like, easier, like, to handle.
Yeah.
But when I'm here, when I'm in Scotland, and I'll go around Scotland, and I'll order, like, a dish, it's literally, like, a dish for three people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not, like, oh, my God, I don't eat that much or whatever.
No, I know,
like,
no,
it's... a healthy amount of food, but you're still looking at the plate, like...
It's a lot of food,
I will usually ask, like, how many people does this dish serve?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to keep packing things up and taking them home.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so... I remember that being younger as well, when we'd go out to eat. Never once would I finish it.
Yeah,
I mean, even still, but it's so normal to ask.
Yeah.
Like, they just assume
that you
will take it away, which
that's, like, different.
I don't know, it's a little bit wasteful. Just
assume that you didn't like the food.
Yeah,
that was it. My friend didn't finish her crepe, and the waiter came up and said, "Do you not like it?" And I was like, "No, I do. I'm just really full." And he was like, "Then finish it."
Yeah,
and she was like, "But I really..."
That's happened to me before.
Like, finish the crepe, and so he left, and she had to sit there and just, like, swallow every last bite of that crepe.
Yeah.
Bad for her, but after that I was like, okay, I mean, I already knew I wouldn't waste my food in a foreign country. Not that I waste my food, but I would be very careful about it in a foreign country, because I don't know, like, how they see waste. Although I did go, like, I'm really just going crazy on, like, different topics, whatever. But I went to this Korean restaurant once in Dubai, in Malaysia. And basically what they do is, like, it's one of those ones where you cook your own food. Like, you go up and, like, get all your ingredients and then take it to
that's
the
fun.
Table. It's, like, that big like,
that's fun.
Thing. And then
yeah.
the table and you cook it. That was so cool. But they actually had a five-pound charge if you waste your food.
Wow.
To prevent food waste. Mm. If you left your plate with, like, food on it, you have to pay.
Especially because you're doing it yourself, and so they don't want you to take way too much and not eat it.
Yeah. I thought that was kind
that's
of,
interesting.
I mean, obviously, it's kind of sad that you would charge people more money, but also, like...
But it does, like...
They were trying to tackle food waste, and that was quite good.
That
so
is...
I remember my dad saying to have it, don't take too much, because I was going crazy. Was
like, so excited.
11, and I was like, with all these ingredients, I'm going to cook by myself.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting there, like, trying to make little, like, Korean, like, dishes. Like, I don't know. I didn't even... That was my first time having Korean food, so I didn't even know what I was doing. But it tasted good, I will say. I had it in me from, like, age 11.
Oh, of course you did. I'm not surprised at all.
But, yeah, it was fun. I feel like we had a completely... different topic we were discussing there and it just went off.
Oh no, as it always does though. I like that. That's why it's fun. But I could keep going for ages. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I found those other foods that I didn't necessarily know were like
I mean gut. I think we can dive into that a little more.
I'm putting some Doge Cat.
In the future.
Yeah. We definitely can. But now we are out of time.
Yeah, that was so quick. I mean, we started pretty late because we had a conversation about food before.
Yeah, sorry. We just were like, oh, we should record this. But you can now listen to this. Well, I guess you would know that if you're listening to it. I was going to say you could listen to this not live, but you can.
You probably be listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Please leave us a review.
Yes.
5-star review on Apple Podcasts because you know you enjoyed it. It's so good.
Yeah, you can write a comment. Oh, we're going to put a poll. If you listen on Spotify, we're going to put a poll and ask questions.
Yeah.
So you can respond.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay
guys.
Tuned for that.
And definitely follow the podcast so you can be notified when we upload.
Now, every week, though, will be uploaded. So that's exciting. Yay. Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For joining us.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be here next week. Lucky for you.
Yeah, with a lot more fit stories.
Yeah. As usual.
And I'm going to try your spices that you got me. So,
yay. Okay, good.
I will have
you can report back. Okay, that's exciting. Okay, yay. Okay, bye.